Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
So in this series that we've been in for the last couple of weeks now, we've been talking about what it means to be on mission. And for a lot of people, that means you get in a plane and you fly halfway around the world and you go talk to people that don't talk like you, don't look like you, act like you, eat like you. And that's true. You're going to hear about some of that today. But the purpose of this series that we've tried to bring to you in the month of September is for you to understand the spiritual aspect of what it means to be on mission. Circumstances change, and that this series that we're talking about is, man, how are we to fulfill the kingdom purposes of Christ across the street with our neighbor all the way around the world to Uganda, Africa? And there's one common thing that happens in a heart that is on mission. It's that you understand why you're on mission. One of the things that I like to talk about in the history of Pioneer Church is, you know, when God planted our church, we knew that we needed to be involved in missions somehow. But probably like a lot of you, my perception of missions was kind of skewed, if I can be honest with you. And I remember meeting David. I've known David a while, but David said, man, can we have a talk? I think there might be something you will be interested in. And this was all kind of during COVID, and God just kind of divinely orchestrated some circumstances to get David and Janet to come to Pioneer Church. And he said, so what do you feel about going to Africa? And I said, I don't feel any way about it. It's never crossed my mind, if I can just be real honest with you. I said, but you know, we are open to whatever the Lord wants to do. And we're willing to serve and wherever he opens a door. How many of you have ever heard of Henry Blackaby? Henry Blackaby has a famous quote. It says, if you want to be in the center of God's will, look for where God's working and go join him. And I think that was a really good springboard for our interaction with Love Africa. And so I told David, I said, you know, man, I'd love to hear more about it and what God is doing. And so I'll be honest with you, my intentions were for us just to write him a check every month. We'll support you. We'll support you that way, right? And David said, man, I think you ought to go. Nah, I don't think so. But God would not leave me alone. And so in February of 2023, I got on a plane. Kenny was with me. And Kenny, myself, and David were the only ones, I think, from Pioneer Church. I don't know how I got you to go, to be honest with you, man. I guess you'll share that in just a little bit. But we went not really knowing what was going to happen. For me, I'll be honest with you, about hour eight of that 10-hour plane ride, I was going, I can say that I've gone. That's what I'm pulling away from this thing. I can say that I've done it, right? God wrecked my life on that trip in the best possible way. I went on kind of a recon mission to see how we could give money towards what they were doing in Love Africa. Man, last February, it was my third time going in 2 years. I love the people of Africa in a way that if you don't go, it's hard to understand. But there were so many doors that were open for us and for our church. And you're going to hear some of that from the folks who went this past February. Praise the Lord, man. The first time we went, it was three of us. This past February, we took eight from our church. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord for that. Hey, and I want to just share this before we get any further. And it was about $2,500 a person to go. I think every person on our team had to pay about $400. And that was because of you guys and your generosity and the way that you invested in the work that we were doing. And so I don't want you to come away from this morning going, man, I guess I got to get my passport and get on the plane. If God doesn't say that, don't do it. I can assure you it'll be a disaster for you. It'll be a disaster for you. But what if he is? What if he is? The trip last October, we had two ladies. I won't reveal your age. That's irrelevant. But they had lived some years. And they decided to go. And God used them in a mighty, mighty way. We're going to hear from Sandy here in just a little bit, too, who went back. And so I want you to just have an open mind as we share this morning. I want to start with a video, and then we're going to have some folks just kind of share about their time really briefly, and then we're going to end our time. Wayne's got a couple things he wants to share. Then I want to talk about what God has done through our efforts in Uganda and Kenya, and then David's going to end our time this morning by sharing what lies ahead. And that's why I really want you guys to pay attention, because I know that a lot of us are going, I don't have anything to contribute. I don't know what can I do? Well, I believe after you hear these testimonies this morning, you're going to see that there's a lot you can do. So if we will play that video for us, and then whoever wants to go first, if you'll jump on up here and go.
I am David Wynn, and I'm the president of Love Africa Mission. I am also a member of Pioneer Church, and we are here in the Chingwali Refugee Settlement in Uganda doing a discipleship conference.
My name is Pastor T.J. Easter. I am the lead pastor at Pioneer Church in Madison, North Carolina, and I've been in Chingwali for the past several days training pastors at the annual pastors' conference.
We currently have 120 pastors and almost 70 women, and also about 50 youth, and we are discipling and helping them empower their own personal growth and also to strengthen their churches.
The theme for this year was walking in holiness. We have taught our pastors how holiness affects their personal life and their family life and their ministry.
Kwangu binafsi nilikuwa sijaelewa neno utakaso. Fatana na wakati nilisikia, nimebadilika maishani mwangu. Imenipasa nibadilishe na familia yangu.
I thank Love Africa so much because it has been a very great opportunity that I've never had in my life. I just thank them. I just say God bless them a lot, and God should make a breakthrough every year. Every time they want to do this, God should really bless them. And I thank also Pioneer Church for having stood with us too, that it brings us from different areas and different churches, that we can come here and also get these teachings.
Every single person is using their gift. Some are supporting, some are teaching.
I love serving in Uganda. We've had a lot of different things that we're doing. I love the people. I love how the ladies are teaching. Some of the things that I'm working on is we hold babies all day, and we help them to not cry so the ladies can listen to the message.
Thank you, Scioto, Love Africa, and Pioneer Church for giving me the ability to come back to Uganda and serve its people. We are bringing the gospel to the ladies and the pastors, and it is such a great experience. I wish all of you could come.
And this is my first trip to Uganda with Love Africa. The experience has been amazing, more than I could have expected to have been. I think the biggest thing is the people here have true joy, and it shows often when you talk to them and they smile. And it's just been a real blessing just to me to just get to interact and meet with people like that.
This experience has been great so far, and I just love seeing the way that the people live here, what they eat, their culture, how respectful everybody is. And I really hope and pray that I can come back next year, because it is just a great experience.
Here in Chingwali, we have been doing a pastoral conference on holiness, and it's been very exciting.
We are so thankful for the opportunities that God has given us with Love Africa, the partnership that we share. I never imagined that I would have the privilege to be in Chingwali preaching the gospel. to so many wonderful people. God has blessed that organization, and I believe that it is something worth investing in for God's kingdom purposes.
We would love to have you join us. There's just so much to do and so many opportunities here, and we would just like to thank you, everyone who has supported us, and please consider joining us in the future. Thank you.
So that's just a little bit of what we got to do on our first trip. And so now I'm going to just ask some of our folks that went, if you feel led to come share, just share a couple minutes about what the Lord did through you and in you while you were there. So, Janet, everybody's looking at you, so you get to go first. Well, you say whatever the Lord wants you to say. Yeah.
Good morning. This is very emotional for me because a year and a half ago, our daughter went to be with the Lord, and she's the one that got us in foreign missions to begin with. And so, like, to go back after that, I did not want to go. I just wasn't ready. I didn't know when I was going to ever be ready to go back, but it wasn't going to be then. It was just, I felt like God was going to come down and just tell me exactly when to go. And then God did tell me, you can do something. And you know, you can go, you can do something. And then David said, well, you can teach. You know how to teach. I said, I'm not doing that. And I wasn't going to do that. My mind is not what it was, y'all. I was a teacher. I could teach the ladies, but I just wasn't ready to do that. So I just said, God, please use me. So I am going to tell you scripture. I don't believe y'all to get up in front of the church. I believe you have to tell scripture because I just think that's how I get through the world. And I loved at the first of Judges. I know that's a really weird thing to be talking about, but in Judges 6, I just loved how Gideon was going to talk to the Lord about he was going to have to go to battle with the Midianites. But he said he just couldn't do it because their tribe was really, really weak and he wasn't going to do it. And it just made me think of myself so much. And then God said, but the Lord's going to be with you. And then Gideon said, well, if God is with us, then why in the world's all this stuff happening? And then he said, where's all the wonders and stuff that you said was going to happen? And because he was feeling like God had abandoned him. And that's kind of how I was feeling. And, oh, I have known such miraculous goodness from God that you wouldn't believe if I could sit here all day and tell you. And then God took my precious baby. And then, so what the Lord told Gideon is to go in the strength that you have. So I said, well, okay, because I am breathing and I am walking and I have the strength to go. And so I went. And then I said, well, my job, I didn't know what my job was going to be, but it was real easy when I figured out what my job was going to be, y'all. I held babies and changed diapers all day. And when the babies would finally go to sleep for a little bit, I washed dishes. And I was so happy to do those things. And so if you ever feel like you might be called to do mission, God will use you. He'll use you wherever you're at the time in your life. I've led VBS in Uganda, in Guatemala when we first went. We've done many, many missions. And I was ready to do that at the time when we did it. And then I was ready to hold babies and wash dishes. So God can use you wherever you are. He can use you in Uganda, in Kenya. He can use you right here. He can use you at the YMCA. Just God's you. If you're a Christian and you believe in the Lord, He is using you. So I'm just thankful that I could serve, and I'll keep doing it for sure somehow till I go to be with the Lord too. Like, I'm not going to say that. Like I'm real happy to go to heaven, y'all. I will say it. Andy too. But she's a really good teacher, y'all. Y'all would not believe how good a teacher she is for the ladies. Yeah, you are. I was very impressed by that.
Guys, I'm kind of clumsy. So this dress did not come from around here at Walmart. This came from Uganda. So if y'all think I'm kind of got off on my shopping a little bit. This came from Uganda, and I want y'all to see this. I had this one made a couple of years ago, the first time I went, and it was cost me 60,000 shillings, which is $17.11 at this time. So, you know, these people live on about how many dollars a day or a month? It's such a small amount. And they have so little. And things that we take for granted are not taken for granted. Like this material, you could make a pair of curtains out of it. And this is their best dresses that they have. It's very uncomfortable. But I'll let any of you wear it that can fit. You can ask Tony. She had one made too. She sent hers back, and I gave it to somebody else. And Janet was talking about what she did over there. Y'all, it was beautiful to watch. I have a picture that I didn't send, but there is Janet holding this little baby, and she's looking down at six babies laying down on a blanket asleep. And she is just rocking those babies and just looking at them. And these ladies wouldn't be able to pay quite much attention to the teaching if that were not occurring. So we had a lot of young people, not from our church. We did have a couple of young people from our church, young men, and I was so proud of them. They did such a great job. But they would hold babies, and they would wash dishes, and they would carry the food over to the men's side. So there is always something you can do, no matter how young you are or how old. Now, I'll be 69 this year, and we won't say how old Tony is, but she's at least 20 years older than me. No. She's like a year older than me, y'all. But we went together in 23, and did some teaching over at a couple of different places. But we went to Chingwali this year, and my part was teaching the ladies about some holiness and holiness in your family and what that looks like. And I know a lot of y'all don't know my story, and I'll be glad to talk to you individually about it if you want to. I don't want to shock this entire church. But I was able to use my experiences in the past and things that have happened to me and ways I have been blessed beyond measure by this experience and by other experiences, by letting the Lord lead my life. But if you ever think you're too old or too young and you can't do anything over there, please talk to me, because I'll be glad to tell you exactly how you can be used and how you... Again, if you don't feel led, don't go, because you won't get anything out of it. But if you feel led and feel like you could be used, please, please let us know. The other thing that I have, I've been a nurse for 47 years, so they call me the doctor over there, y'all. And all I'm giving them is Tylenol, ibuprofen, creams and that sort of thing, and mixing up combinations of things for back pain. They all wash the floors. They're all down here. Nobody will use a broom. It looks like a little sweeper that they're using. Everything they do, if they change their baby, they lean completely over. They don't squat down or put them on anything. They do everything. And then all of them have back pain. They can't figure it out. So some of the teaching we did was how they could avoid a little bit of that. So I do medical things over there and then some teaching. But I am not a teacher by trade. That is not my training, and that is not what I, despite what she said, I don't think that's what I'm gifted at. But I think I'm more gifted as being a servant. So again, ask us anything. We'll be glad to help you. And being old, I will tell you that these young men helped me so much get through the airports, because y'all don't know how much luggage I pack. And everybody had to carry an extra suitcase or two. Cameron, Kenny, and all y'all. And they all carried stuff because I carried all those medical supplies over there. And extra clothes and diapers and things that we left with the families. But they were used in that way as well. Pack mules, I guess. But we did get through there. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Cameron Blose, and I am 15, and I went to Chingwala, Uganda on this trip with Love Africa. How I got there is well, David was up, I think it was at the older building and over in Madison, and he was talking about his trip, and he said that one of the youngest people who went was only 16, and so naturally I was thinking, if you can go when you're under 18, I talked with my dad about it, and you know. And eventually, me and him got to go together. So we flew over there. One of the first things I noticed was because it was hot, and you know, we just got off a crowded bus, and so I was thinking, man, I am just done. And then David said, "All right, let's go walk around the town," and I was like, "All right." And so we went up. And immediately, my whole perspective immediately changed, because now I got to see all the people, and they were just amazing. You will not find kinder people anywhere else. And they are so content with what they have, and most of them are refugees fleeing violence in the Congo. And it was just amazing to see such content people, and they are just so happy with what they have, and because you know God gave it to them. And then on one day in particular, David said, "Hey, Sunday, you want to get up and preach?" And so I said, "Okay, you know, I'll give you an opener." And then so I wrote a little opener on the importance of the youth. And then God decided to take David's voice away that day. And so the only thing that the Mzungu, or white man, got to say that day was my opener. And I really think the youth listened to that one. Because I don't think they get a lot of youth speakers there. Apart from that, we really were serving. We served a lot of food in particular. I just hope and pray that I can go back and experience something like that again. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Bartlett. I'm an elder at Pioneer Church, just for the visitors here. How did I end up in Africa? Believe it or not, I had a friend who was sitting beside me when David was first talking about this over at the old building, the Lucky Duck. And it wasn't a Lucky Duck when we were going there. It was, she was like, "Hey, I want to go to Africa," and I was like, "Well, go." Yeah. Goodbye. Becoming a Christian and really diving into Christianity and really accepting the lifestyle, there was produced within me a desire to be a part of something, a desire to step out in faith, and a desire to, you know, do what God had called me to do. And for the longest time, I would read scripture and it would say, "Go and make disciples." Right? And I was like, "Well, how do you do that?" The opportunity showed up, and the Lord had placed me in a particular financially successful business at that time where I could go and do. So, and I really didn't want TJ to go by himself. You know, it was like, if nothing else, I'm going to go and be of support to TJ. And I did. And it was good. I got to sit and listen and take in what was going on there. Was it a year later? We were going again, and I had no plans of going back to Africa at all. But lo and behold, man, somebody generously gave toward my trip. You know, and I just took that as a sign. It's like, okay, well, I guess God wants me to go back to Africa if he's going to pay for it. You know, so TJ asked me to be a part of the pastor's conference then. You want to know your inadequacy? Go make an agreement to go stand in front of 120 people that speak a different language and preach the gospel. You know, that will really get you right-sized. I got to go over there. I made this big promise, a boastful promise to Miss Sandy. I was like, "Don't worry about it, Sandy. You know, we get over there, we get back, I'll drive you home. No worries." Sandy ended up driving me home. we get over there, and we each get to speak once a day for 3 days. And I had prepared to speak on the topic of election. And I got up there and I gave my 30-minute spiel, and they were just sitting there looking at me like, I was like, "Oh, I was supposed to go longer." I was informed later on that these people had invested their whole entire day and that they were hungry for scripture. They didn't just want to come in and get a sound bite and then go eat lunch. They wanted to sit and take it in. Luckily, TJ was there for me, and the next day I got to preach. The day before, I was like, "Hey, TJ, this is what I got. It's only 30 minutes. What do I need to do, man?" And he sat down lovingly as a kind pastor would, and we were able to pick out five other points, or take the points that I have and, you know, expand on them. I had a sinus infection. I was on medication. I was only sleeping like 3 hours a night. Like every physical thing that could possibly happen to make me aware that I was unable to do that was right there in my face. And then I ended up staying up till 3 o'clock at night writing a sermon. And then the next day I got up to preach, and like every single issue that I had disappeared. And for that next hour and a half, I was able to open up the Word of God through the Holy Spirit working through me. And we had a great translator, Baraka. Man, he did a wonderful job. It was fantastic to worship with that group of people, to worship with them. There's bands. They got a tambourine. They got something that rattles, you know, maracas, you know, and they get up and they worship God to the fullest extent of their heart. And then they sit and they take in. We left. We got back home. Well, Sandy drove me home. we got back home, and I had declared that I'm never going back to Africa. In my mind, I think about a mission trip, and it's like, yeah, we're going to go have fun. For me, this trip was really, it really pointed out the fact that it's work. Like, it's not something that you go and, you know, I'm on vacation. It's not going camping down by the river. You know, it's not that. It's the work that goes in, the stress and the time that goes into preparation. And then the physical journey, the arduousness of the journey. And then you get there and then there's stress on the, it's a real humbling experience. So I sat out there and I was like, oh, y'all going to on mission trip? Oh, that must be fun to go over to Africa. The reality is that it takes God to fit all those pieces together and to make it come and to get us there safely and then to get us back. And so after having all that real life experience, I was like, well, I'm not going back to Africa. And I'm driving down the road, about a month ago maybe. And TJ calls me on the phone. He had just heard from Lane. What's Lane's last name? Lane Ball, who is a part of a Love Africa mission. And so they had gotten together, and they had a conference to see, I guess, what everybody had learned and how they felt about the conferences and things like that. And TJ told me my name was mentioned. Almost, you want to... on how well of a job that I did. In my mind, like in my perception, in the way that I saw things, it was awful. It really was to me. But then to hear just bit of information, just, yeah, you did a good job, fanned a flame within me. And like, you know that little smoldering wick that God says he will not put out, that little weak reed that he will not break? Like the Holy Spirit came in and it's just like, whew, and it fanned that flame within me, and it gave me and then there were so many things that happened in that week just to re-solidify the fact that God uses broken people. You know, he uses to advance his kingdom. He takes the weak, he takes the simple, and he uses them. He uses us. Like, he doesn't grab the high and the mighty, man. He uses the lowly and he raises us up. So in that, with that mentality of the weak helping the weak and the humble helping the humble, like, if you have a desire to go on mission, like, don't think that you have to be this or this or this or, like, whatever expectation you may place upon yourself. Like, well, I can't go do it because, I think Janice said it. Like, in the strength that you have, go. And he will show up in a mighty way. You know, so I just want to say publicly, Sandy, thank you for driving me home. That's all I got.
Hello. Good morning. Let me get my nerves down a little bit. I hate going towards the end because you get to sit there and think about getting up in front of people or something. So hopefully calm down here in a minute. I want to start by saying thank you to those who donated financially. And like TJ was mentioning, also to Sandy. I know she made a lot of soup, and others who raised money just by fundraising and other things so we could go. So I'm so thankful for all those who make it possible for us to do these things. It definitely made it a lot easier on our pockets. So I'll start by saying it was a blessing for me to be able to go to Uganda. Cameron just got up here and talked, and it was just, that was great to be able to go with my son. TJ got to go with his son, and for teenagers to be able to go to Uganda. I wish I could have done that when I was at their age, because that's going to impact them for the rest of their days and impact their purpose for the Lord from teenager on. So I'm so thankful that he got to go and experience that. I had never been outside the United States except for a quick stop in the Bahamas on a cruise ship, so I don't think that counts, but So to hop on an airplane and go across the world was quite a culture shock to me. Things are radically different over there, but I enjoyed every bit of it, except for traveling. I'm not made to travel. That long plane flight hurts. I am not fun size, so I don't have wiggle room in the seat. So when I got over there, I was hurting. Like TJ mentioned the other week, that during the trip, I was about to cry because things were hurting and numb and all that. But once you got off the bus and encountered these people and started seeing the joy that they had, the struggle of getting there was worth it. It didn't take me long to say I'd do that trip over again. I will just stress that the people there, like Cameron said, have a true joy about them. It doesn't take much just to light them up, and it is just your interactions with them, just talking with them, brings out the biggest smiles, and just warms your heart. So it's a blessing just to be over there. The children there, I know there was a picture of Cameron dragging 5 kids along. They just can't wait to interact with you. And that just melts your heart. So it makes it all definitely worth it just to travel there and interact with the people. We served, and that's, I just want to encourage that if you might say, this is a pastor's conference, how can I help a pastor's conference? I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher, but most of us served. We were just the hands and feet, just to make things happen, able to serve food, wash dishes, like they said. And we worked from sun up to sun down, just about. It was some hard work, but it was good work. And there was no shortage of it, I'll tell you that. So everywhere we went, we could use one more hand. So there was a lot to do, but it took all of us to make it happen. And we really, you could tell even by serving food and other things, you were having an impact on other people's lives for Jesus. And I see some pictures going up behind me. Earlier in the week, I believe it was on Sunday afternoon, we got to visit a widow's home. She recently became a widow, had at least 5 children, if not more. Forgive my ums. I say ums. But anyway, listening to myself. We got to visit the widow's house. She had her home that she currently was living in was collapsing. And another team that had been there previously had seen her home and the poor condition that it had been, and went back home and raised the money to have her a new home built. And over there, to have a whole new home built cost, I believe it was $1,800. A little bit of money goes a long way over there. It doesn't take much to really make a difference. Let's see, we were over at her house, and I'm not one it was hard to be able to communicate with them, and this is one of them spots where I felt that actions speak louder than words. So I stepped forward, and that week they were going to be breaking ground on her house and building it, so I volunteered to go out and help any way I could to build that home. Got a little muddy doing it. They literally, that day, they were starting to mud. And here we go to Lowe's and we pick up our pretty white buckets of mortar and mix and mud a house. They literally mud a house. They dump water on the ground and just start stirring it up. And so there they are. You just start mixing. I got my legs dirty from just doing the dance in the mud, splashing around. It was kind of fun. Felt pretty good. But it was hard work. So they hoe it up, and then you start taking this mud, and you make basically almost like a bread loaf-sized ball of mud out of it, and then you got to pack it in between all these bamboo or reeds. And it was pretty tough. They were showing me how to work, and I'd get mine together, and I'd get about halfway up there, and mine would fall apart, and I'd have to start all over again. But I did that little corner right there, so a little bit. But the guy next to me did like three times as much in my time. And eventually, one reason I was so muddy in that other picture is I was working out in the sun, and Mzumbu started turning red. I was cooking, so I started taking mud and spreading it on my arms, and that was the best natural sunscreen ever. It really worked, but they started looking at me funny. What in the world you doing putting that on your arms? I said, I'm turning red, and then they put me inside doing the walls inside for a while, so that helped. That helped. That was really good. But I surely enjoyed being able to physically, I'm blessed by the Lord to physically be able to do those things. And my small mind only sees the one family that this is impacting. I think, well, this is going to change her and her kids' lives. But the other day we were on a phone call with Love Africa with Lane, and he mentioned how much impact just doing that home has had over in that community. They were worried that this family getting a new home would cause some jealousy in a community, but actually it's done the opposite completely. People hear that the church volunteered to help give this person their home, and it's causing the community wants to get involved with their church. They're also has created a community of giving. The people are wanting to serve each other because of what they've seen done. And so I thank God and how awesome it was just that a small impact on one family has actually impacted a whole community, and it'll probably grow from there. Given what God can do. So $1,800 did a lot more than just a house. With that, I can't wait to go back. It was an awesome experience. And I look forward to getting to go to Uganda again. Sometimes the people that you got to meet, and especially some of the younger faces, were just, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? So told them I'd be back, so I hope I get to. But with that, you might be wondering, how, Wayne, can I get that fun Africa mud between my toes? And I'm just going to let you know that we are working on another trip to go back currently. This time, I'm going to go to Kenya, and we're putting together a trip looking at February to go, and this will be the first kind of a little more of a work-oriented trip. Going to be heading a carpentry team to build some beds and other furniture for a conference center and a clinic that's over there. So I will just throw that out there. If you feel a little nudge or anything, we are looking for volunteers that would like to be involved with something like that. So if you have any questions about that and getting involved, please see me or David about that. Along with that, I'll just close with a scripture that, in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus says the greatest in his kingdom are servants. So we're all called to serve. And like TJ said, it doesn't matter if it's here or if it's over in Africa, but we're called to do it, and there's a reason why it feels so great when we do. You can't explain how good it feels when you just get to serve, so I look forward to those opportunities. I encourage you, just look for, when you have those opportunities placed before for you, and you have those five reasons why you can't do it, look at those, then look at why God put it before you, and if it's meant by him, it's going to happen. So I encourage you not to run from it, but it's truly a blessing to be able to serve in any way. So I can't wait to do it again. Thank you.
Things that I mentioned earlier, and I hope you heard over and over again in this those folks sharing, is that there's probably countless other people who could probably go do what we did, probably more efficiently and more creatively and all that stuff. But here's the reality: God called us to go, and He does that because He wanted us to participate in the work that He was doing. And so the question is, what work do we do? You've heard, man, we take medicinal things over there. We mud at a house. You hold babies. You wash dishes. You just kind of go and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. And he'll lead you to that. But one of the things that really led us as a church to get involved in, I'll just share a couple minutes. I mentioned earlier, I went with David in 2023, and as soon as I got there, they had a very small pastor's conference. Kind of just first time, didn't really know what to do, and we were just kind of teaching on the Beatitudes. And I was teaching some, and it became very evident a couple things. One, the amount of biblical illiteracy was staggering. Second thing is, the majority of these folks that we minister to there are not Ugandan. They're Congolese. They've escaped the war in Congo, and they've been displaced from their homes. And there are language barriers among themselves. And so they are strangers in a foreign land, just like we are. But they were bringing in a whole lot of different belief systems. And so there was a question and answer time that we had, and one of the pastors shared, said, hey, so is it wrong for a pastor to take a congregation member's daughter as a tithe? Like, you didn't mishear that. Is it wrong for a pastor to take a congregation member's daughter as a tithe and have his way with her? Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe that I was hearing that. There's nowhere that in my life that I have ever heard anything like that. And so I just remember going, hey, we can get time out. Where are we here? Like, where are we at? There were pastors pastoring churches who had been Muslims and who didn't have a Bible and were leading churches under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I remember going, man, there's a mess here. But the thing that popped in my mind was two things. I had the opportunity to be real critical and go, man, what's going on with these people around here? Can you believe this? I had to get over the shock of it. But then the second thing that came to my mind was Acts chapter 16. Paul's trying to figure out where he's supposed to go, and he keeps trying to go to Asia, keeps trying to go to Asia. And you remember he had this dream, and it was the Macedonian call, and it was a guy from Macedonia saying, hey, we need help. Can you come here? If you know anything about Macedonia, it was one of the last places Paul would have wanted to go. Extremely poor, extremely ignorant. It was not the place that he was trying to go. Most people would try to avoid it. And so I remember the Lord just impressing on my heart, these folks need help. Well, then immediately, like many of the others who shared, well, I'm not the one. I mean, I'm just a church planter from Rockingham County, North Carolina. Like, there are so many more people that could do this. But I remember at that conference that first year, hearing all these terrible theological things. And the Holy Spirit just called me, and I don't know these people, and I don't know what they're going to say or how they're going to respond. I don't even know what's going to be translated correctly. But I just remember saying, hey, guys, there's some sin here that we need to repent of. And man, they understood that. The room got deathly silent. And one by one, man, those pastors started standing up and sharing, you know, this is where I've been failing. This is what I've perceived. And there were conflicts in the room that God began to just work on. And man, for about an hour, there was prayer and confession of sin. Stuff that I dream happens at Pioneer Church. And God started to break hearts. And so here's what happened as a result of that. That was 2023. We sat in a hotel on the lawn at a hotel in, what was it called, Andarita. And met with the leaders of the trip that we were on. And they said, you know, the reality is we know that the only way that transformation is going to take effect in our refugee settlement is through the church. Man, people send money. There are millions, hundreds of millions of dollars that are pumped into that refugee settlement every year. And David can share a little bit about that if he chooses to. Most of the people never see it. You know how that works, right? God said, we don't need more money. We need the gospel. So I think there were 50 men that were there that first year. And so we started to pray, and Love Africa started to get involved. We started to build partnerships with people in different countries. There was a connection with Heart Cry Ministry, Conrad and Bayway. If you're familiar with Conrad and Bayway, he has written a lot of books for African pastors. We began to get his curriculum. They began to take it over there. The second year we showed up, I think it was, I have some statistics here. There were 130 people who served, and over 1,000 people attended the 21 trainings last year. So we went from a group of 50 people and their wives to now 1,000 people were impacted by our efforts to go over there. And here's what we did. We opened the Bible and we taught them. Did you know that a majority of those pastors didn't even have their own Bible the first year we went? But you know what they did have? They had the internet. And they were pulling whatever they could off the internet. It didn't matter if it was theologically sound. I had guys coming up to me going, watch this video. And it was women just writhing around on the floor and this mess. And they were going, I'm going to preach this Sunday. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, what am I supposed to preach? The word. I don't even have the word. They were taking sermons and sharing them. And you talk about the need. I remember telling David, these are not monumental problems. Like, these are not things that we need to fast and pray over for God to do a miracle. We just need to spend some money and give them some Bibles. Man, we need to go over there and spend some time, and we need to train these pastors. And man, there's churches all over this country that stepped up to do that. Our brother Lane Ball, who we've mentioned a few times, he lives down in Arkansas. And his church got together and heard what God was doing. And their church wrote a check at one time to build a pastor's training center. So that's where we met. That we met in this one little room the first time. And the next time I went back, there's a whole facility with a library and commentaries. And they meet there on a regular basis for them to share and to learn. And we see the growth exponentially. Lane shared some more statistics. This year, this is the pastor's training center, and that's Kenny, and that's the room that we were in, slam full of pastors. Some of them are walking 5-6 miles unless they have transportation to get there. Conference is supposed to start at 9 o'clock. They're there at 7:30. They're ready. They're hungry. They're eager. When it's time to go home, I'm ready to go fall out in my room, and they're out there wanting to talk. And man, they were taught the whole night about doctrine and the scriptures and the things that are going on in the church. And so this year we went back and we said, you know, we've given them the tools. We've given them the word. We've given them opportunities to grow academically. What else do they need? The Holy Spirit made it clear. Holiness. Who are these men before the Lord? And so here I go, like Kenny said, who am I to preach that? Who am I to teach on holiness? And if you recall, we were going through that series as we were doing. When I got back, we went through that series. And it was because God had to do a work in me. And so here's the first week. Men, who are you before God? When nobody else sees you, when your congregation members go home, who are you before God? And there's a lot of people going, I don't know. Here's a couple of quotes that we heard. I'll come back to that one. He says, these conferences have delivered me and my church that I pastor from the prosperity gospel. These are from pastors who've been a part of the conferences over the last 3 years. He said, I began to preach expositionally and my congregation has fallen in love with the Word of God. One pastor said, I went to Bible school. Some of them have training. I went to Bible school and it gave me a gun with no bullets. But these training sessions have given me the bullets for the gun. How cool is that, man? I love this one. I have been freed from feeling that I have to work for my salvation. And kingdom stuff is happening there. Here's a couple more. I've realized that this is not my church. It's Christ. If we had more time, I could share a little bit about that perception. That if you're a pastor in that area, you're kind of like the president. People make over you. You get the nicest things. They put you on a pedestal. And a lot of them are abusing it because they can. But man, God has allowed Love Africa and Pioneer Church to come in. Not just Pioneer Church, but allowed us to be a part of it. To come in and say, this is Christ's church. And so they're connecting. And so this last one was one that I wanted to share with you. We talked about holiness and holiness in the home. And I remember preaching, men, it doesn't matter what kind of pastor you are. If you're a terrible husband and a terrible father, you're not a good pastor. You got to understand something about that culture is that they don't treat each other very well. Women have always kind of been second class or second rate. And your first responsibility, pastors, is to your home and to pastor your children and your wife. And man, I got a lot of this when I preach that. These guys can attest that over the next few days, you watch the walls come crumbling down. And here's what he said. I went home and I asked my wife and children to forgive me for the way I've treated them. And I've told them I love them. Now the love of the Lord abides in my house. And God can do some work with men like that. Amen. And so here's what we have this year. This year, 150 people went with Love Africa, and around 2,000 people attended the 23 trainings. Listen to this. Approximately 13,000 people have been influenced through the pastor's training conferences. Guys, 2 years ago, it was 50 men in a room. 13,000 people are being reached by the work that God's leading us to do through Love Africa. And I just want to say thank you. David's going to share a little bit about the cows because I didn't have anything to do with that. So, David, come on up, man. I won't take any more time because you know I can talk. But I want you to share a little bit about what God is doing and what opportunities are available for us, and then I'll close this out, brother.
He had to put me last because I'm so good-looking. He kind of gives you guys an eye break at the end. Pioneer is very much involved with Love Africa, even from the beginning. Shane, he's here. Shane was one of our founding board members. And TJ actually, not only does he go, but he also is involved with the curriculum and the planning for the pastors' conferences, even if he's not there. And, of course, a lot of people have been several times. And what I want to start off with is who Love Africa is. And I'll do that by telling you who we are not. We are not a humanitarian organization. Now, having said that, God has worked through us to do so many wonderful humanitarian things. But that's not the focus. Because TJ mentioned when the very first conference he went to, that was our first conference total. We worked in Uganda, Kenya, and Congo. And the conference that Kenny and TJ were at was the actual first one. And I don't normally get nervous. I've been to Africa so many times, and I'm just not a nervous type person. Very few things get me anxious. But that first conference, I've been to Africa enough to know that things don't happen like you plan them. And that first conference, I had finally talked TJ into going, and I promised him all these great things. Never do that, guys. Don't promise stuff. But I promised all these things. I said, the pastors are going to be there and this. And that morning, we went for a walk, I think. We went for a walk around the village, and the conference is supposed to start at 9 o'clock. Nothing in Africa starts on time, hardly ever. So I'm coming back, and I'm thinking, Lord, what if the pastors and women don't show up? I said, what if I had 10 people there who were mostly pastors or leaders, and I'm like, what if it's a no-show? And we come around the end of the wall, getting ready to head toward the compound there, and there were people lined up, pastors already. This was like an hour ahead of time. And I was like, wow, God, you can make things happen, because I didn't expect it, and I had really nothing to do with it other than just start the ball rolling. So God did those things. So anyway, we were sitting on the very end of that trip. We were getting ready to fly back, and we stayed at a hotel there on the way out. And the leaders came through and said, what's your response to what's the week that just happened? They said, well, what we found out is that they're great at educating, that they have a school there. They're known by the UN, great school. And they said, what we found out is education cannot solve teenage pregnancy. Education cannot solve the mistreatment of women. Education cannot solve tribalism. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can do that. Will you help us strengthen our churches? Now, that was a paradigm shift. And God, in always his time and his perfect, here's another message, y'all. God's timing is perfect. I had just became the president of Love Africa. I'd been involved since 2012. Janet and I have. She mentioned our daughter got us involved. And I'd been doing leadership stuff there, but I was actually asked to take over the whole thing. And you know, in Proverbs, it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And sitting right there, and TJ and Kenny were right there with me, that was like, this is our vision. We have to kind of change how we're doing things, and we got to start investing in their churches. And TJ's told you the condition of their churches, but what made it so amazing is they recognize that themselves. We don't go over with any Western ideas. We don't go over and do anything unless we're asked to do it. Now, we do it scripturally, and it better be based in God's word. But we don't go and say, hey, we're going to build you this or that, unless they ask for it. And then, so what they've asked us to do is build the church. And that was a paradigm shift, and that changed how we do things. So what we do now is we take two kinds of teams, and if maybe I'll make this thing flip. I talked for 25 years, but I just talked. I let other people do that stuff. Yeah, all right. Have that there in the background. So we take two types of teams now. We take what we call discipleship teams, which is what Pioneer's been involved with so far. And in those teams, we're based on Romans 12:2. Do not conform anymore to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. TJ said their minds were not in the right place. So we focus on those pastors, women leaders, and youth leaders, and help them transform the mind to what God has for them. We also take other teams, which we call focus teams, and what they do is they point people to the church. Now, we didn't start with these teams. We started with discipleship teams because you don't want to tell people all about Jesus and then point them to a church that's unhealthy. That's worse than not pointing to the church at all. Amen? So these teams, and this goes to what everybody's been saying about your different gifts. Our partners in Kenya, Uganda, and Congo have asked us to bring people who nursing and health support, VBS and children, vocational teachers. You see it. I don't have to read it to you. I will mention the bottom one, exposure teams. These are teams where we take people who don't know what their gift is yet. We have a lot of college kids on these teams. And we go and we let you plug into different things and kind of see where God's leading you. And we take these teams to all of our countries, Uganda, Kenya, and Congo. And this is where I'll finish up because while we were over there, I just came back. I was in Kenya, Uganda, and Congo. I had a long trip to all three of our partners there and just kind of vision casting for 2026. And while we were in Kenya, we had two projects that were, well, one project that was almost finished, and we have a guest house there that we can't sleep in because there's no beds and stuff there. We have to get cots and stuff. We need some bunk beds and some tables and some furniture. I asked him, I said, how much would that cost for get the stuff together? And our leader there, his name is George, he said about $2,488. I said, okay. And I went down into Maasai land. That's where, if you go back, you don't have to go back, but we were there and we did a vaccination clinic. The Maasai people have, they're herders. They're the ones with the spears and the red clothes. You presume they jump up and down, they can jump just however far they want to jump. They also have traditionally drank blood and milk, and they've been many, many wives. And this another time I can tell you about how that transformation has come along. But their herds are still their livelihood, sheep, goats, and cows. And we took a team of veterinarians there there in July, and they were able to vaccinate 9,800 of their animals. I actually got to shoot some of them, too. I don't think I did too good because then goats were screaming when I was. I think I shoot them in the bone, but it didn't matter. They got the dose. But anyway, they that enabled us to open doors. And a lot of the pastors who were there with us, they said, this herder has been totally disinterested in the church for decades. And all of a sudden, because of that sharing love, they actually came and started asking the pastor about going to church. So that's what these teams do. These teams point people to a healthy church. And you know, Jay, these teams, I told you the other one's based on Romans 12, 2, the discipleship teams. These are based on James chapter 2, where it says, if you see someone hungry or thirsty or naked, and you say, I'll pray for you, hope you have a good day, and send them on, it doesn't make much of an impact. And we still need prayer, of course. But let's meet a need. And so while we're meeting the need, we're pointing them to the church. So we don't work, I got nothing against IMB. They're a great organization. They do things by prepping a person to be like a long-term missionary. What we do is we take short-term teams, meet needs, but at the same time, we're training the local people to do what we're doing. We're not going to need TJ and Kenny in a couple of years to lead those conferences in Uganda because we're also bringing up Africans to do that. He mentioned Baraka. There's Pastor Safari. Those guys are going to come up and take that role. So we'll be able to go somewhere else. So when I saw the Maasai situation, they said, what we really need is a health clinic. Well, we have a building there that's already up and ready. That's not being used for anything down in Maasai land. I said, what do you need? They said, we need a health clinic. People have to go 2 hours right now to, that's if they have money and a vehicle, which they don't have either one. So basically, they just get hardly any health care. And so we said, how can we do that? I said, we can renovate this building and make it ready so we can use it this summer. So I said, what would the cost be to renovate that into an active health clinic? $5,000. Is all, to make this a place where these people will have somewhere to go. Now, they won't do surgeries and stuff. They'll do triage-type things, which wound care, medicine. We can't take antibiotics. We have to buy antibiotics there and use them, but we can take pain meds like, or whatever. I don't know if we can take all the stuff Crazy Sandy took. I didn't even get into that. But anyway, we can do things like that. Prenatal care and help the women out because they all give birth, you know, naturally and with midwives. So there's a lot of things we can do, and training is going to be involved. So got those together, come back. First one I called was Wayne. I said, Wayne, got an opportunity. You mentioned you'd love to go back and do some work. I know you got some carpentry skills. And believe it or not, he said yes without even thinking. He said, I would love to. Let me pray about it. Let me... check with his wife, of course. You got to always do that. But let me see if that could happen. So Wayne is leading this team in February, and I'm going also just to be a handsome face, you know. But he's leading the team, and we're going to do two things. We're going to do that carpentry work, and we need some nurses to go to help us set up the clinic, like how the best way to organize it. We're going to take some meds and have them there. So we're looking for, we've got about 6 or 7 people now that have, and we hadn't started advertising it yet. I'd like to have about 12 people. So that's what we have on the table. Also, all of these teams we're going to take next year. So any skill you have, any skill, we can plug in and use. So that's really all I have to say, but we'd love to have you join us. I'm available. I'll be here next couple of days before you have to go back to Virginia Beach. So, you know, call me, get my number. Kenya's got my number, so I'll give it to anybody. So call me. Okay.
April, if you'll come on up and get ready to lead us in worship. The invitation has been extended, guys. You might say, man, you really can't go. Then you can pray, you can give. But hey, I really believe that if you will just ask the Lord, do you want me to go and do whatever he says, he will do it. Man, you've already had your time, David. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah, if you'd like more information about Love Africa, there's some pamphlets out on the back as you go out. Please take them. But here's my encouragement for you as your pastor. Just ask the Lord with open hands, what do you want me to do? And whatever he says, if you will do it, you'll be blessed and honored. Let me pray for us. We'll worship and be dismissed. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to just celebrate what you are doing in your world and how you are allowing us to participate. Father, I'm so thankful for the work that you're doing in our church and how you are, Lord, you're molding and shaping our hearts and our minds to look at your world through your lenses. It's so easy to have just a narrow-mindedness about our life. But God, you purchased us with the blood of your son, Jesus. You bought us with a price, and we are yours. And so, Lord, what I pray over these people as we end our time this morning is this, that those who belong to you would truly seek you about where you would have to, you'd have them go and be used by you. Lord, they may not ever get on a plane and go to Africa. Lord, they may not ever leave Rockingham County, but Lord, I pray that that would be because you told them that. And so, Lord, I just pray that you give us a willingness to say yes. Lord, it's been shown today that there are so many opportunities available to go make a kingdom difference. And so, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you would stir our hearts, that we would continue to be a church, Lord, that gives our lives away for your kingdom. And so, Lord, as we leave this place, I pray that what we've heard today would not be lost on us, that your spirit would continue to stir and move so that we will have more occasions to celebrate how you've used our church to make a kingdom difference. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship and we'll be dismissed.